This is Marketplace from APM. I'm Kai Rizdahl. Full disclosure, as we get going into this next item, I spent 8 years in the United States Navy, almost three of them stationed at the Pentagon. It was an interesting experience, shall we say. Rosa Brooks did a stint at the Pentagon as well as a civilian counselor to the Undersecretary of Defense for Policy. Her experiences there are the foundation for a new book about the way the American military does what it does today, which is a whole lot. It's called How Everything Became War and the Military Became Everything. Rosa, welcome to the program.
Hi, Kai.
I'm going to start with a question about the civilian-military divide in this country, which my guess would be that you will agree is real, but let me get your sense. Do you think American civilians, when they think about the Pentagon and the American military, do you believe that they have an understanding of how it works and how it goes about its business?
Not really. I think Americans know roughly as much about the military as if they know about the surface of the moon. And they're as respectful and interested, but just about as ignorant.
Okay, so let's get down to brass tacks here. Tell me about this thing you call the Walmartization of the American military.
Yeah, it's actually a phrase that was coined by my friend, retired Lieutenant General Dave Barno, who says, look, the military has become the nation's one-stop shopping. There's absolutely nothing the American military doesn't do now. Hmm. It sponsors micro-enterprise programs for Afghan women, does anti-piracy patrols, monitors emails of suspected terrorists, trains Iraqi judges, you name it, the military is doing it. Much like Walmart, the more you do, on the one hand, you can exploit these incredible economies of scale, but the more you do, the more likely you are to do everything not all that well, and it has some impacts on other agencies, too.
I'm going to roll out a phrase here that certainly has been around for a very long time, but in my experience dates to the days of Colin Powell when he was chairman of the Joint Chiefs. It's a recipe for mission creep.
And there's nothing necessarily wrong with mission creep as long as you pay attention to where you're creeping to and you're sure it's a place that you're willing to go and you're willing to make the trade-offs associated with going there. I mean, I think what's been happening, unfortunately, is that we haven't really shifted military recruitment, training, personnel policies as much as we ought to if we think this is what we want the military to be doing in the future. And meanwhile, we've been letting our civilian agencies, foreign policy agencies such as the State Department, USAID, really stagnate and decline.
Right.
It's commonly said, and it is in fact true, that there are more members of military marching bands than there are members of the U.S. Foreign Service. They just can't keep up.
Yeah. Of which, again, full disclosure, I was a member of the Foreign Service for 4 years. I've got
well,
all the bases covered on this interview.
Yeah,
right. So what's the answer then? Do we like privatize and pull out and leave it to NGOs and you know, contractors and all that? I mean, we saw in Iraq how that went, and it was not always good.
Yeah, I don't think there's a single right answer. I don't think God came down and said the military must do X and Y, shoot people and can't do anything else. The State Department can only do these things and nothing else. You know, we get to decide that. And I don't think there's anything inherently wrong with deciding that we want our military to forever take on this wider range of activities. But if that's what we want, let's say that. And let's organize accordingly, budget accordingly, train accordingly, and have democratic oversight mechanisms that are consistent.
I would ask you at this point to look across the Potomac River from the Pentagon to Capitol Hill and explain for me the role of the Congress of the United States. Because, you know, for as much as everybody complains about the Pentagon budget, no small part of that is members of Congress saying, I want the Lockheed to be built in my district, and the other guy talking about this new generation surface ship to be built in his district. District,
absolutely.
Right?
Absolutely. And this is not a market economy that we're talking about here.
Right.
The fundamental problem is this, that practically every member of Congress has either a military base or somebody manufacturing military aircraft or something like that in their constituency. Absolutely nobody has a factory manufacturing foreign service officers in their constituency. So all the incentives run in the direction of Congress throwing money at the military, whether the military wants it or not.
It's a book called How Everything Became War and the Military Became Everything, Tales from the Pentagon by Rosa Brooks. She was a counselor to the Undersecretary of Defense for Policy. She is, in real life, a professor of law at Georgetown University Law Center. Rosa, thanks very much for your time.
Thanks so much, Kai.
We've got an excerpt of Rosa Brooks' new book at our website if you want to take a peek, marketplace.org.